You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Romans and chapter 1. And perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart in your presence, that we might be the recipients, the ones to benefit from your grace, even on this time, at this time. So deal with us in the light of all that was, in the light of all that is, in the light of all that shall be. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. And in our study of the Gospel of John, we're looking in John chapter 17 at the moment, even though you're looking at Romans. Now, having said that, keep in mind, if you would, that all the outworking of God's wonderful plan involves God. God in a most wonderful way. And in the process, God seeks to be known, to be understood. And therefore, that's his desire. He creates us in his image and likeness, Genesis 1:26. He creates us in his image and likeness to be able to honor him and enjoy him. That's personal and wonderful. So it's all about a person, person to person, of what we do. Now, having said that, so just to remind you that that's his desire. So everyone born on planet Earth, God seeks to introduce himself, regardless of country, culture, parents, enemies, regardless of anybody, God seeks to introduce himself. Chapter 1 of Romans, in the light of all of the wonderful context, may I slide down to verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold, having and holding in your hand tightly, the truth in an unright way. In other words, we know what we don't want to know and we don't do it rightly, because that which may be known, understood of God is manifest, made clear, public, plain, simple, is manifest in their heart, in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power. So there's no way to be on planet Earth, to have any kind of activity in your heart and brain, no matter what you do, no matter what you eat, whether you're in the jungle or the city, it wouldn't make any difference. Everything manifests God's creativity, God's presence. There's nothing, no study, no understanding about anything on earth that doesn't reveal him. That's my little bit. Everything reveals him. So what are we going to do with that? Hang on. Now, a clearly seen, verse 20. Being understood by the things that are made, his eternal power, and Godhead, his deity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, so that they are without excuse. They have no excuse. Because, verse 21, is the reason that when they knew God, everyone knows, there's no one born anywhere in the face of the earth that doesn't know. It hasn't, regardless of anybody anywhere. God didn't give that assignment to anybody. It's his assignment. Now, verse 21 again, because that when they knew God, They glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, their thought process. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God to an image made like to corruptible man. Birds, four-footed, idolatry. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So, everyone knows God. The whole point of it all is to know God. So hang on to underline that in your brain and heart. That's to know him. That's a personal relationship to God. For everyone on planet Earth, all humans that are born now. Having said that, it's a unique, wonderful thing to know God in a most wonderful way. The Gospel of John, again, over to chapter 1. May I point something out to you again? John chapter 1, verse 1. The Word, the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. God in his wonderful being, nature, essence. And so what do? The God, verse 14, the Word was made flesh, Christ was born, God the Son in the person, perfect humanity of Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now God brought him, made himself available so that we could see and understand the invisible, infinite God. And we shared all those things many times to remind yourself again that we can't. We're in the presence of God. You're always in the presence of God. There's nothing anywhere that isn't in the presence of God. There's nothing outside of God. We can go outside of the building, and there's the outside. You can't go outside of God because there's nothing outside of God. I just have to understand that. That's because he's God. And the only way we can understand him is by his wonderful, wonderful person in the person of Jesus Christ, because we're made in the image and likeness. So us humans can understand another human, and the human can communicate to us so we can understand the invisible, infinite God. Now, hang on. And in the light of that, verse 12, when we receive him as our Savior, verse 12, to as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become sons or children of God, even to them that believe in his name. So what are we doing? The Lord made himself available in the person of Jesus Christ. When the heart receives the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they receive God. What happens when they receive Christ as their Savior? They become a child of God. That's what happens. When you receive the Lord as your Savior, you become a child of God. That's what you do. Underline that in your mind right now. So what does it mean? When I got saved, you get saved, if you do, get saved. I, child, have a relationship to the Father. What happened? God the Father made it possible by way of his Son to make me, to make us, believing God, to be able to be a child. That's all personal, right? All persons, all personal. That's where it is so far. So, now, back to where we were, John 17. Gospel of John, chapter 17. God is explaining, as we shared all these things, in the light of all of his wonderful words, chapter 13, 14, 15, 16. And God has made it possible by way of his Son, the Lord Jesus, to be able to make all of his wonderful truth real and right and practical. So, and God has given them, verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, trouble, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And then we are involved, we're given privilege. They were in the upper room, and we are, by way of his writing. God gives us that relationship between God the Father and God the Son, verse chapter 17. And we slide down to verse 2, as 17:2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And then we shared verse 17. And this is life eternal, that we might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The Lord Jesus Christ is to help us know God in a most wonderful way. So what is eternal life? It's a relationship to another person, God. John 1:12, as many as received him, we become children. We don't get a package. We don't get a little something to put in and gives us a special vitamin to eat, to live forever. No, it's a relationship, a personal, wonderful relationship. Now, what is a relationship? Relationship means connection, literally connection, to relate, how things are connected together, connected. So we talk about a relationship in a most wonderful way. So God, here we are looking. And in that relationship we have, we have a family relationship by blood relationship. And we have marriage relationship. We have that business relationship. We have relationships to something. It's all related to something or someone. In the eternal life is related to God in a most wonderful way. So therefore, keep that in mind. And easy for you to remember and think about, you have a relationship to time. You live in this body. You could lose your hands, and you're still the same. You live in this body out there. And you use this body. This body is made for time. Time. We're stuck. We need it. Without the body, we can't do it. And we know time to have this physical life. And when physical life has a problem, what do we call it? If it's a big problem, we call it death. What do you do to check to see if people are alive? You go and try to see. You can say, hello, hello. You can try to wake them up or check the whatever and do everything. You're trying to wake them up. If you can't find them, if you can't find the person inside, they're dead. What is death? The absence of a person inside. The person's gone. This body is made for time. This flesh and blood, 1 Corinthians 15, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So this has to go. It's dust. It came from the dust. It is dust. It goes back to dust. It's dust. So we have no problem. That's why everything we eat and do is all from animals and grasses and everything. What the whole of our physical existence is from the earth, from the sun, the water. That's how we live, because we're dust. We feed off dust. Animals eat grass and we eat animals. That's what we do. Wow. But we're going to exit this body. And when we exit this body, and you can't find us anymore here, we're going to be there. Then we get another body. And that would be true ultimately for the saved and the lost. Ultimate body, resurrection body. And in the process, that body is made for heaven. That body is made for timelessness, eternity, time, like this, Genesis 1:1, Revelation 22:21. Here it is, in the middle of eternity. That's right there. 1, 2. Look at it. Here you are, right here. Here you are, in the middle of eternity. All of this is going to disappear. Eternity. Time answers and rests on eternity. Eternity, you and I are made for time in order to enjoy eternity. That's what we're doing. So we're made for that, our relationship, of having a wonderful relationship to God. That's the whole point. You aren't going to find anything else. It isn't to work for somebody. It isn't to do, it's to enjoy and know another person, namely our Creator and God. Our Lord Jesus practiced it. He said, "This is my Father which is in heaven." The Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That's what he said. And the Lord Jesus said, "My Father." That's what you got in John 17. It's a relationship, an awesome, awesome relationship. Now, and that's to be exercised. So when we come to know the Lord as our Savior, God brings us into a relationship with Jesus Christ. We receive him as our Savior, a person. We become a child of God. We have a relationship to another person. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, over, if you would, please, to try to put that in focus, this unique relationship. That's what God wants. God, have you been consistent in communicating that? Yes. Would you go over with me, please, in your Bible, over to the book of Genesis. And in Genesis, if I may, Genesis and chapter 2. Remember Adam and Eve? They're made in the image and likeness of God. It's an awesome thing to be made in the image and likeness of God. Now, and so God, they're in the Garden of Eden, and the Garden of Eden is a special, special place. All the earth is wonderful, but the Garden of Eden is a special place. And in that garden are all kinds of trees and everything for fruit and food and everything. Adam and Eve lived in that garden, and they enjoyed that garden. And they were to, verse 16, chapter 2, as we read, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat," to freely eat, to certain, with great certainty, the verb, certainty. Certainty, sure, intensity. You'll be so excited you can eat anything. Just don't eat, verse 17, "of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." One thing I want you to show that you heard me, that you understand, eat freely. I want you to understand that I'm your Creator. I want you to enjoy as you walk in the garden every day. Every day, that's what they did. They enjoyed the presence of God in a most perfect way. All we can do is read and understand a little bit. That's what they were to do. They were to ought not, verse 17, they were to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The end of verse 17, "For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And that's intense in another verb, but the same verbs, two of them, as in verse 16. So certainly eat, be enjoying everything. And certainly, without any question, make sure you understand with great certainty, in dying, you're going to die. The day you eat of that tree, you'll die. A test. One test to show that you pay attention and you're listening. Adam and Eve had a wonderful relationship to God. And we can't imagine it because we can't understand it. And they were with God perfectly in a most wonderful way. Now, and so I can't say anymore because I don't know how to talk about it. They enjoyed it perfectly. They didn't have clothes. God had a covering over them. They had to be beautiful. You understand? I can't do it. They just were perfect. beautiful. Now, hang on to that. Hold your finger here, coming back, and go over with me, please, to Ezekiel, as you would guess, chapter 28. What do we know about Lucifer, son of the morning? Lucifer, who's the top angel, as it were, up to be the focus of attention for all the angels to know what's wonderful. What's wonderful about being an angel? Look at Lucifer, son of the morning, and see his position at the right hand of God in the Garden of Eden, to see his position. And wow, wow. So now, he's beautiful, beautiful. Adam and Eve are beautiful. So when we come to chapter 28, God's going to give us a little course like in Isaiah 14 about him. So I'm going to read verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, verse 13. Every precious stone, etc., 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 wonderful, wonderful. All of the, you're beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And verse 17. What's he going to do? Thy heart, what happened to Lucifer, son of the morning? What happened to him? He got full of pride. And he said, boy, am I beautiful. And all the angels looked at me and said, wow. Because his position was to encourage all the angels. So therefore, verse 17, thy heart was lifted up. What caused the problem of Lucifer, son of the morning, to become Satan? Because of thy beauty. Because of thy beauty. So what are you going to do? Back over to Genesis and chapter 2, chapter 1. So Adam and Eve are going to go, and they're going to lose what? Their awesome relationship to God. They have an awesome relationship to God. Lucifer, son of the morning, before he sinned, at the right hand, as it were, has an awesome position. And Adam and Eve had a covering that made them. They were naked and not ashamed. They had an awesome covering. Beauty. That's all I can do is read it. Wow. That's what they had. Now, how are you going to get them? Satan is allowed to tempt them. And in the process of doing so, he gets them to go and question. Remember chapter 3, without doing all of that, Satan had him go and got Eve to go and take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's what they got Eve to do. And Eve got Adam, got both of them. So now here they are. And when they did that, they lost. They lost what? The relationship to God. They died spiritually, and physically they would die ultimately. They lost the relationship. They enjoyed God. God, his wonderful person. They were wonderful relationship. But when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they died. And they knew good and evil. They had become naked. In chapter 3, verse 7, the eyes of them both were opened. They knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Aprons. And they tried to do everything they could to do what? To cover up the relationship was not there. It was a personal relationship. God in his beauty and them in their beauty, they matched. Hang on, jump way ahead to where we are. What are we going to do in God's wonderful grace? We're going to be conformed to his image. Christ is the Son of God, our Savior. He makes us sons. And when he makes us sons, what are we going to be? 1 John 3, we're going to be like him. We're going to be like him. So when we see his magnificent body resurrected, like in Revelation 1, etc., we're going to be like him. What happened to Adam and Eve? They lost the likeness. They lost the relationship. The connection was broken. Eternal life is restoring the connection, the relationship. Eternal life is God by way of Jesus Christ, God in Christ. It's a relationship to a person, God, in a most awesome, wonderful way. It isn't to intellect. It isn't going to go and like you can go here and go somewhere else in the country or whatever and be visit somebody and walk away. No, it isn't that. It's a personal relationship, a oneness, God to know him. God to know him how? To be like him, to know him. God has made it possible to know him. Romans chapter 1 again. Now, having said that, so when they were out, so taking that a little further, and you know when Adam and Eve sinned, they believed, Genesis 3:15, God provides a wonderful Savior. Genesis 3, 20 and 21, God made coats of skin and covered them, covered their nakedness. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ would provide a covering for us when he goes to the cross. Now, in the process of that, what else is there going on about relationship and knowing him? Now, they sinned. The relationship is restored. How? By the God covered. They believe God. God's going to die on the cross for them. Verse 15, verse 20 and 21. They're going to believe. They receive the. They understand they're guilty. There's no problem. But, verse 22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. I have the tree in the garden before Adam and Eve sinned. They could eat freely of every tree, and that included the tree of life. That tree of life, they could have eat it and make whatever, that wonderful, they could eat the fruit thereof. And what would it make them? On and on and on and on. It's the tree of life, the fruit of life. And God put the tree there to what? To remind your relationship to God. Just don't disobey. Don't disobey. Eat of the tree of the knowledge. Don't do that. Enjoy God in a most wonderful way. And how long can we enjoy God? You can have the tree of life forever and ever and ever and ever. That's how I'm going to show it. And that's how God did. So having said that, now, if they go and Adam and Eve are all right, they're safe as can be, covered by the blood of Christ. But when we receive the Lord as our Savior, God saves us. And he gives us eternal life. Eternal life is a unique relationship to God. Now, picking up in the chapter 3, in verse 24. So he drove man out, the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. God blocked the tree. Here's the garden, a special, wonderful little section, big section. Here's the tree of life. Didn't go away. Nope. But God said, you can't go. Now, Adam and Eve, you guys are okay. But what is their assignment? She's the mother, verse 20, of all living. She's going to have Cain and Abel and all of them. And they're going to be dead in sins. They're going to die. They're going to be born spiritually dead. And if they're born spiritually dead, and keep it as it is, they, Cain, could walk back into that garden, walk back in to the tree of the knowledge, tree of life, and take of the tree of life. And he, in his unsaved state, if he takes of the tree of life, could never be saved. He'd be eternally damned. Angels, remember, why on angels? There's no salvation for angels that fell. None for them. They have a perfect view, perfect understanding of God. When you throw that out the door, you lose. The Lord Jesus Christ came, planet Earth, and he said, among other things, said what? In John chapter, Matthew chapter 12, there's a sin unto death. And if you go, if they went, and they did, some of them, we have no king but Caesar. They crucified him. Here's our Lord in his perfect humanity out of Nazareth. He's just a man. No, he's God. And you have opportunity to choose. To choose. But back over to the garden of, with Adam, with Cain. If Cain goes and eats of that tree, his choice is gone. His choice is gone. God, how are you going to help them? Keep them from the tree of life. Keep them. God, back to Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, you can blaspheme him, you could crucify him, and still get saved. But if you go, John 12, Matthew 12, and you go, and the Spirit of God does all his wonderful works and words and it seals his wonderful presence in that day in your of him. And you say nothing doing. Crucify him. You lost your choice. There is no forgiveness that you can enjoy. You can't. You threw it away. You threw it away. If he can take, back in the Garden of Eden, if I can take of the tree of life, I'm sealing my doom. Because with understanding, I got to do is look at my mother and father, Eve and Adam. I look at Eve and Adam. They're saved, covered with coats of skin. And they, I know that they lost their relationship to God, because that's what they, I understand that. And then I still go willfully into that garden and take of that tree, I'm willfully going and disobeying God. You understand that? It isn't a guessing game anymore. I have evidence by my father, mother and father, and I go in and take of that tree of life. God in your grace, in his grace, stops it. So Cain can get saved, Abel can get saved. Abel does, Cain doesn't. They can get saved. God stops them, so they can't get to the tree. Now, without jumping into all that wonderful subject with so many wonderful pieces to it, think of Revelation 22. You don't have to go there. Here's the throne. Here's the street. Here's the river. And there's the tree of life. Right smack in the middle of heaven, as it were. The new city, tree of life, with 12 fruits in it, as it were, season. Wow. Why? Is the tree needed? No, it shows you what? You have a wonderful relationship to God. And here's the Lord reigning in his perfect humanity, resurrected body. And here's the tree, here's the river, here's the fruits. For the healing and everything, for the health and wealth, they're able to live. And it's by the tree of life. So God, you're going to, the beginning and the end, you're saying what? It's a relationship to God. And you don't want to lose the relationship. You don't want to excuse, Romans 1, excuse yourself from the relationship because they are without excuse. I'm not saved. I don't want to be saved. You can't excuse yourself. You can't excuse yourself. And it's unavoidable. If not now, later, you're going to know God. That's what you're going to do. Your appointment is with God. It is accounted to men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You're going to go. You have an appointment with God, one way or the other, to know Him. Eternal life is to know Him and enjoy Him. And all the evidence, everything God did, if we took time to do it all, everything God did was to help to enjoy and honor God, to restore the relationship by way of Calvary's cross, to make possible. And so therefore, God, you kept the garden blocked. You blocked it. And not only did you block it, but then here's Genesis 6 with thousands and thousands of people born. Here's the pile of them, eight people, get on the ark. The rest all die. Now, God, you took care of the garden then, didn't you? I did. I flooded it and gave the whole thing a whole new picture. So there is no garden. Ah, but there is a garden. That's tonight. Now, having said that, so God, here we are looking. And what happened? If I don't block the garden, you're going to go and harden your heart. And every time you harden your heart, when you willfully do it, you know, and you take your Bible, and that even won't do it. I'm not going to do it to mine. It's bad enough as it is. To rip it up and throw it in the fire. You can do that and still get saved. But when you say, God, I don't want to know you. Remember I mentioned Nelson Blount years ago, that Ocean Spray Cranberry Sauce, the founder, owner. Back then he told me, I still have it, little cards he handed out, little card like that. And he handed out that card and he showed me while I was there having lunch. And here's the card. And on the one side, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and my Savior, etc. And I receive Him as my Savior. And then there's a little place you sign your name. I received Him as my Savior. Thank you, God. There it is. And then he turned the card over to me and said, see, if you won't do this side, there's this side. And I refuse, I reject Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Now sign that. I reject Jesus Christ as my God and Savior. Sign it. When you go that far, it's how hard using Pharaoh, Genesis, Exodus 5 and that. God each time hardened, his heart got harder and harder. When your heart gets harder and harder and harder, how easy is it to get it softer? If you're saying, no, 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 how hard is it to get back, to change? Doesn't get easier. And Pharaoh, as far as we know, Pharaoh died with a hard heart. That's how he died. So if I don't block the tree of life and keep it, there's no way to make a choice. Over to Deuteronomy. You read it, and you please need to note it. In God's wonderful grace. And by the way, as we're saying that, in the tribulation, those that sign up with the mark of the beast, those that line up with the mark of the beast, Revelation 13 to that, when they line up with that mark, chapter 14, Can they get saved? And God says, no. You made a serious choice and chose that mark, knowing it was dead set against God. There is no way. The people that sign that, get that mark, forehead and all that, 666, they can't get saved. They don't. If God doesn't block the tree of life, there's no way to make a choice, is there? Because it's too hard. Your heart's too hard. You don't make any choice anymore. Now, God, help us. Deuteronomy, what did you do to encourage Israel? It's a wonderful thing. God wants you saved, not unsaved. Chapter 30, you read it. I'm going to go directly if I can. Verse 15. And I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. So here's Moses is going to die. They're going to cross the River Jordan. And God gives them a choice to understand. They need to make a choice. They're either going to live, have life and good, or they're going to have death and evil. Sliding down. God, you're helping them some more. Think if I had seven jars up here, and only one, or seven of them, six of them are poison. Six of them. But one isn't. The devil offers six and 60. God gives one. Guess one. The only way to get saved, take God's. Don't take any of these cups. Don't do it. Now, chapter 30, picking up, please, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. I'm telling you which glass to take. Choose God in Christ and get saved. What about Buddha? What about this? What about that? Choose Christ. To know him, to know God personally. If you don't choose him, and choose him on the other glasses, you will die in your sins. John chapter 8. So now, having said that, God, you tell them what to do. You told them how to get through it. Right, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. Therefore, the end of verse 19, choose. If I didn't block the tree of life, you couldn't choose. You would have never made it. You would have never made it. Now, choose life, that both now and thy seed may live. What is eternal life? It's a knowledge and relationship to God. Why is it called eternal life? Eternal life is to know God. Okay. John 17:3. Let's go to chapter 30, verse 20. Choose life. Verse 20. How long is life? What is life? That purpose, thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. To know him is life. That's what life is. And God, to know God. What is eternal life? To know God forever. To know God forever. That's eternal life. There's heaven and hell. There's no God forever. Wow. Eternal life. That's awesome. 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 Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind as we have looked, I didn't mean to wander a little bit. I just hope you got a little bit. There's 1,000 pieces that go with this that make it a wonderful picture. But I hope the little bit that we did at least stir your heart a little bit. Why did he block the tree? Why did he block keep them from the tree? And the tree didn't go away. God has a tree in forever. God has a tree in forever to remind you. You have eternal life. You can eat freely of anything. Just don't disobey me. Honor me. To know me. Ah, now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over if you could please to John chapter 12. The Gospel of John chapter 12. And so I can at least try a little bit to help you put it together. John 12, picking up, please, in verse 30. John 12, 30. Our Lord. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your, in other words, God talking to God, makes it, he records some of it so they could actually listen between the conversation. That's John 17. So here, verse 31. Now, what do they need to hear? Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. That's the devil, Lucifer, son of the morning. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. That's the cross. A wonderful, wonderful summons. Verse 33, he said, signifying what death he should die. When Christ died on the cross, he died for how many human beings? All human beings. So the saved and the unsaved, he died for them. He's the creator. He's the savior. The unsaved don't want to get saved. And that's fine. They have a choice. God made sure they had a choice. Because you don't want to have a bunch of robots. You want to be able to enjoy the person, don't you? This is a personal relationship. I'll use a silly illustration. Yeah, you all work, go to school, work, use work. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you enjoyed your boss? Not just as your boss, but you enjoyed him. Enjoyed him. I had the doctor that did my surgery, this one. I'd like to sit down with that doctor. I'd have lunch with him if I could. I enjoyed being with that guy. Wow. Wouldn't it be nice to enjoy that? That's what it's for. I want you to enjoy God. And therefore, I don't want to. But I died. Christ died on the cross for them in a most awesome way. So therefore, they need to believe. So, and they're summoned. So everyone has to give an account to God. To what? To be to God personally in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, if I can, over to John, John, on your way quickly, turn a page over to chapter 11, John 11. And verse 25, you're familiar. Jesus said unto her, a woman, Lazarus died, remember. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe that? I am. I am the resurrection and life. What? What are you going to give me? No, I am. You can't have anything apart from me. You need to abide in me, and I abide in you, like the vine and the branch. A wonderful, wonderful relationship. Over to Jeremiah chapter 17. And you would recall, I want you to hold your finger here a minute. Just one other thing closing. Over to Isaiah. Go back over to Isaiah, if I can. And picking up, please, Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. I want you to connect in your mind, if you wish, what was Israel's awesome, wonderful privilege? To know God. That's why God sent him out of the Exodus to the land to know him. Therefore, you know this, chapter 43, verse 10. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen, that purpose you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. I am. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, verse 11, I, even I, am the Lord. Beside me there is no Savior. I want you to know me. Eternal life is to know him. Israel was to what? With long life. I want you to choose life. How long is it last? It lasts as long as God does. Wow. It's eternal life, a relationship. Now back over to Jeremiah 17. And you recall, Jeremiah and the people of Israel are rejecting life. They don't want to have life. Jeremiah chapter 2, they reject God's life. And I got a minute, I can do that. Hold your finger here in Jeremiah, in chapter 17, and just put it together. Jeremiah 17, and slide over to chapter 2, verse 13. 2 and 13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forgotten, they have forsaken me, the fountain, me, underline, the fountain of living waters, and hewed themselves, dug out cisterns. They have hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. In other words, they're going to try to make little buckets of in the ground, etc., in order to be able to hold water. And none of them can hold the water, living water, living. Chapter 17. Cursed is the man, verse 5, the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. But he should be like the heath, the tumbleweed in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and the salt land and inhabit it. Blessed, on the other hand, is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. What is the difference between leaving God out and leaving God in? Knowing God. God, what's it like to know you? Verse 8. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought. It doesn't matter. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. A wonderful relationship. God is like a tree in the river. Never loses leaves, weather, bugs, disease. It stays alive, alive. When you know God, it's a relationship like a tree. To take of the tree of the life, to eat of the tree, to receive, John chapter 6, except you eat of me and drink, you cannot have life. As I live by the Father, so you live by me. I am your life, the resurrection and the life. I am. And you need to enjoy that. It's a wonderful thing. A person. It makes it so simple. Because now you're trying to figure out, how do I do this? It's a person. It's a person. If we were going to go have lunch, which is fine, I have to go outside of Middletown probably to avoid mask the mud. Anyway, I'm going out there. We have lunch. We're sitting there. I'm not interested. I'm interested in the person. And I don't have a Twitter, a little doojiggy. You know, I see people sit at the table. You won't believe this. They sit at the table, and you're 2 feet away, 2.5 feet away. They do that. That's what a mouth's for. Mouth, food. Mouth, food, talk, 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 talk. That's all they do. What kind of relationship's that? That isn't what God wants. God wants a personal relationship. I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. You need to understand why God, we're in his presence. And we need to enjoy him. We need to honor him intelligently. Thank you. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. Even now, God, we stumble along trying to understand all these things so that we can practice, God, and not insult you by our dumb things we do and say and think. Oh, God, you got to help us in every way to enjoy your wonderful person. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you that you hug us. God, thank you. Thanks. God, where would we be, Father, without you? Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.